This is Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, racial justice editor at Yes Media. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Every month, there seems to be new data about the deadly impact of fossil fuel use on the climate. With no question whatsoever that we're experiencing dangerous climate chaos, the business's usual ethos of elected officials and corporate executives is hard to fathom, especially for young people whose future is in jeopardy. Now, a youth-led group called Climate Defiance has vowed to forcefully confront those responsible, saying, quote, "If people in power will not save us, we will save ourselves." Organizers with Climate Defiance have publicly confronted officials such as Carla Frisch, top aide to Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, Tommy Baudreau, Deputy Secretary of the Interior Department, and White House Climate Advisor Ali Zaidi. We're joined now by a Climate Defiance organizer who goes by the name of Yew, that's spelled Y-E-W. Welcome to the program, Yew.
Hey there.
So first, tell me about the modus of the and the tactics of Climate Defiance, and how it's trying to shift the narrative on climate change. How is Climate Defiance's tactics different from the many other climate justice organizations that are out there right now?
Yeah. So Climate Defiance uses nonviolent civil disobedience. We bird dog, disrupt speeches and fundraisers. And sometimes we blockade the entrances to those events and just the buildings where these politicians work. How it differs, I do hear a lot from people that join our organization that they like confronting the politicians directly. But there's a lot of important work done by all the organizations. We all use different tactics, but we're all fighting for the same thing.
And let's actually watch a compilation of videos so that our audience can get a sense of how Climate Defiance has been in just recent weeks confronting and holding or trying to hold accountable some elected officials. Here's a series of encounters, if you will, that you can find on Climate Defiance's Twitter account.
All we're asking is that you
stop CP2! Stop CP2, Carla, 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 stop CP2!
And fossil fuels, Tommy, and fossil fuels.
Your boss, Joe Biden, is skipping the UN Climate Ambition Summit tomorrow. What a joke this administration is.
And fossil fuels, Tommy, and fossil fuels.
Tommy Bujold, you approved the Willow Project. What do you have to say for yourself?
The number one
what
thing from deployment.
Yourself?
Yeah, you cannot touch her.
Assistant Secretary Boudreau, you are a climate criminal.
Okay, so, sir, this isn't the forum for that.
Tommy. You can't hide from us.
That's pretty cold.
All fossil fuels, Tommy, all fossil fuels. All fossil fuels, Tommy, all fossil fuels.
Quit your job. Do something you're good at. Are you kidding me? There's no excuse. No f***ing excuse, Tommy. Get out of New York City!
No new drilling. Keep your promise. No new drilling. Keep your promise. No new drilling. Keep your promise. No new drilling.
And that is a short collection of clips from various events where organizers with the new youth group Climate Defiance have been challenging government officials for signing off on fossil fuel projects. Joining me is Climate Defiance organizer Yew. Now, tell me, what struck me was that when you, and first of all, you're targeting, it seems, mostly government officials rather than corporate executives, and you're calling them out by name, which I think is just really interesting, because there's something very intimate about calling out an individual by name when there's a group of you and you're referring to them in a very personal way. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, obviously, Climate Defiance's goal is to get the current administration to uphold the promises that they've already made about ending fossil fuel extraction on federal land and water. We do go into these spaces and call them out by name. Specifically, you mentioned Tommy Boudreau. He's personally responsible for signing the Willow Project in Alaska. And part of nonviolence is not shaming or humiliating individuals. But when someone holds that much power and responsibility, we have to make their name public and people aware of it so that they feel the pressure not to make those decisions that harm people.
Tell me about some of the actions that you've engaged in yourself and how they have worked. What is it like to be in that environment? I imagine that it's risky. There's cops there. There's a potential for violence, even if you yourself are being nonviolent, right?
Yeah. And I myself have risked arrest. I'm not sure if you're asking about all actions I've participated in or just Climate Defiance.
Climate Defiance specifically.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, the first action I really did with Climate Defiance was the Ali Zaidi stuff. Also, those are a little less risky. Like when you're going into those spaces, they don't want to arrest you and they don't want an altercation to happen. But when you're doing stuff more on the street where you're in a public space or even in those situations where you're on a private property or something, yes, it does get scary. And I've risked arrest myself multiple times. I haven't been arrested myself, but many of my colleagues have. And I often do jail support for them. I'm there when they're getting out. It's part of what we have to do to accept what the system has set up as a punishment for doing this thing that we have to get in the way of. And hopefully enough of us show up and gum it up enough so that it doesn't work for them anymore.
Does your work fall within the framework of civil disobedience, direct action? This country has a rich history of confronting power. How do you see your work fitting in?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're always talking about past civil disobediences and direct actions. The Tommy Boudreau action you mentioned is actually one of my favorite actions that we've done. When we're doing actions, they can be kind of fun, but it's not like I'm happy to be there, or it's kind of like a heavy thing. So we're just trying to carry all the people that we're speaking for with us and be respectful to them and make sure that we're representing them. And of course, that means that we're nonviolent. We're not like trying to start altercations. We're coming there with like love in our hearts and trying to, when we're interrupting Tommy Boudreau, I'm trying to connect to him as a human. And I'm not sure if you saw it in the video, but he just doesn't say anything to us. And that's what we're trying to expose, is that we don't need to do anything to these people. Like, we just need to show up in their spaces and show how they already feel about us.
Now, how do you, what is the response of the public when you're at some of these events? I mean, there's passersby, they're watching you. Do you get looks from people of support or derision? How are you received when you confront, especially in the streets or even in indoor events, from other audience members? Do they get why you're angry, why you're being militant, why you see no other way but this to hold people accountable?
Yeah, definitely. There's a mixed reaction. I've been in some fundraiser spaces where we get applauses for interrupting, and it seems like they're on our side about stuff, but really they just kind of want you to leave. Like, a lot of people at Democratic fundraisers want to look like they're doing something about climate, and they're going to all these climate advisor speeches. And so they'll clap for us when we bring up these things, sometimes because they agree that these people should be doing more, sometimes because they want us to leave. And then sometimes we do get heckled by people who are just telling us, like, you're not doing it the right way. You shouldn't be here. You should go do this the proper way. But there is no proper way to do this. Like, we're interrupting the status quo. I'm sorry we're interrupting your fundraiser, but like, realize that we're carrying the message of people who are suffering.
You mentioned that they're Democratic fundraisers, so Democratic Party fundraisers. And, you know, we're in a Democratic administration right now, which is, you know, arguably better than Republican administrations when we think about climate change, because at least there's an acknowledgement that there's a problem and there's some sort of baby steps in the right direction. But as you and your fellow organizers have pointed out, President Joe Biden has broken promises. How important is it to hold accountable just as aggressively those people who claim they're on your side?
Yeah, I mean, we do need their help, because a lot of times these people are wealthier people who hold the ear more so of politicians because they have access to those spaces. So, I mean, hopefully we're getting to them as well, although I wouldn't say that they're our target. Like, we're not here to like have a meeting with the politicians or talk to the people at the event. We're there to bring a message. Like, we've already tried to talk about it with you, and you've already given us the talk. I'm not there to convince someone at the fundraiser specifically. Hopefully they get the message, but yeah, it's more about holding the politicians themselves accountable.
Tell me why this issue is so important to you. What moves you personally to be in this fight, to put your body on the line?
Yeah, for a lot of people, I think it's really easy right now to see how things are bad and that we should be working to improve them. I think it's in the public consciousness that like capitalism is hurting people and we want a way out and we want to help somehow. But a lot of people don't know what that step is, and they have a hard time communicating to other people why they feel that way. For me, it's been helpful to learn about like a story of self. For me, my mom committed suicide when I was 8 years old. At first, I didn't know why. My family told me it was because she had taken some depression medication as well as some painkillers. And it wasn't until I was older that I learned she was actually being sexually abused by a teacher at her school. And several other people at the school were as well. And later in her life, she was trying to bring them to justice and organize people to bring this person out of their position as a teacher. But no one was brave enough to come forward with her. So she ended up taking her own life. Just a mixture of a lot of things. But I think about her every day, especially when I'm out here. Like, for me, it's a matter of, will we have enough people to speak up about climate justice? Or will it just be swept under the rug? We won't have enough, and the injustice will go unresolved. So that's why I'm out here. It's because for people like my mom, not like they're literally, they cannot do this. They don't have enough money to, or like time, but that's what keeps the oppression going. So if I can sacrifice my safety and time to fight for that, that's what I'm doing.
And I want to thank you so much for sharing such a personal story. I imagine that everyone who's joining you at these events, at these activist events, has a personal reason for why they're there, but united by the fact that we don't really have a future for our future generations if there isn't immediate action on climate change and fossil fuel use right now, right? I mean, I have children. I think about it all the time, about their future.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with you. The future is at risk, but we can't wait till the future either. There are people who have already died and are dying now because of all the pipelines that are being approved, like the Alaska LNG, the Willow Project. There's a CP2 export terminal in Louisiana that they're trying to build now. These are things that are going to impact us, like, and are already impacting us. So, like, we need to get something done.
Give out more information about Climate Defiance. Where can people find out about the work that Climate Defiance does? Is it, you know, is it, can they join with you from wherever they might be living? And also your own social media handles. Where can they follow you on Twitter and or the platform that used to be called Twitter and elsewhere?
Yeah. So the first thing is climatedefiance.org. That's our main website. There's a pledge of resistance you can fill out on that website that'll put you on our email list. So you'll get like a breakdown from someone who was at the action about what happened, and then just other various things. If you want to follow our Twitter, it's at Climate Defiance. That's probably our biggest social media. And if you want to get involved, you can reach out to me on Twitter. It's my name, UCD Chicago, or I think that's it. Yeah.
We'll post a link to that from our website as well. I want to thank you so much for joining us, you. Good luck to you.
Well, thanks.
My guest has been YEW, who is an organizer with Climate Defiance. And we've been talking about the work that she and others have been doing, young organizers like herself have been doing on the front lines of challenging government officials in their approval of projects that use fossil fuels. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, racial justice editor at Yes Media, host of Yes Presents Rising Up with Sonali. You can find this program at yesmagazine.org, watch it on Free Speech TV, and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. Our audio podcast is on iTunes and Spotify.